Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on an array of US economic data. For example, we had the US inflation data out for the month of February, but I think more importantly, we had the US consumer confidence data as well as the business confidence data. And given the array of tariffs that President Trump has introduced, that's having a decided negative effect on confidence levels, and we've seen economic growth rates being revised lower. So I think we need to put that in a bit of context. Obviously, last week we also had the national budget presented by the Minister of Finance, but we put out a podcast shortly after, and we put out a written document with an array of accompanying charts. So I don't want to go through the national budget. There is a podcast on the website that you can listen to if you're interested in a budget review. So I think for this week, the focus needs to be exclusively on the US economic data. And then next week, we'll pick up what's happening with some of the SA-specific numbers. The US released an array of interesting economic data last week. To start with, we had the US inflation data for the month of February. And it generally surprised on the downside. US headline inflation is now sitting at 2.8%. That was lower than expected. The core inflation rate, yes, it's just above 3%, but it has also moderated. And if I look at the detail within the inflation data, there aren't really areas that you would be particularly concerned about. You've got food inflation well under control. You've got gasoline or energy prices well under control. And even something like shelter inflation continues to moderate. Yes, it's still above 4% year on year, but the trend is definitely to the downside. And you would anticipate that over the coming months, shelter inflation will fall below 4%. And at that point, it would seem as it's much more in line with the long-term trend. The problem with the inflation data, particularly for the month of February, is that it doesn't take account of the recent tariff increases that the Trump administration has introduced. And clearly there is a concern that once those tariff increases take hold more fully, then you'll have an increase in prices and generally a ratcheting up of inflation pressure. And so the latest inflation data, albeit for the month of February, is not fully encapsulating those concerns. So the focus has really shifted to what we call survey data, data that is more up to date, data that looks at an array of factors like business confidence, consumer confidence, or expectations of future economic activity. And while survey data is not the most accurate data under current circumstances, it carries a higher weight because it is starting to take account of the impact of the Trump administration's tariff policy. So if I look specifically at the survey data, there's been a significant increase in inflation expectations, particularly at a household level. Those numbers have ramped up very dramatically in the last month or two. And clearly that would concern the Federal Reserve because there's a real risk that that spills over into broad-based inflation within the US economy. Equally, there's an increasing concern about a slowdown in US economic activity. That slowdown is partly related to higher prices, but it's also related to anxiety around how the tariffs are going to unfold. And so there is a general wait-and-see approach by many business sectors, a unwillingness to expand, invest, or employ simply because you don't know quite what the business environment is going to look like. And so the combination of those two dynamics gives you an element of stagflation. By stagflation, we mean an elevated level of inflation and a slowdown in economic growth. That doesn't mean that the slowdown pushes the US economy into recession. Far from it. We're expecting that the US economy will lose momentum but manage to avoid a recession. Having said that, the risk of a recession is rising, and there are many economists in the US we have increased the probability of a recession to 20, 30, 40%. And so it's something they're not ignoring. It's not their base case. It's not what they anticipate will definitely happen. But they simply flag in that the more the tariff pressure builds, the more there is a trade war emerging between the major international economies, the more risk there, downside risk there is to economic growth. And that includes within the United States. And I think the data starting to reflect that. Obviously, it creates a bit of a headache for the Federal Reserve because they won't be clear on the best course of action. On the one hand, they would want to fight the high inflation through higher interest rates, but equally, they would be very mindful of the slowdown in economic activity and the potential for that to hurt the labor market. And so that leaves them with a difficult outcome. The market is assuming, and the market might be assuming incorrectly, but the market is assuming that the Federal Reserve will choose to focus on the slowdown in economic growth, and therefore it is anticipating that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates two or three times during the remainder of this year. I think that's quite an ambitious expectation, and I think if inflation does start to re-accelerate, it's going to be very difficult for the Fed to justify interest rate cuts, particularly more aggressive cuts of two or three times, while inflation's becoming more of a problem. It doesn't mean they put up interest rates because inflation's going higher. They may simply adopt a view that says, well, inflation goes up a bit in the short term, but they don't believe it's going to become sustained, and therefore they're willing to simply keep interest rates on hold. That's entirely feasible. But I think it does result in a tricky decision-making environment for the Federal Reserve. And I think in the short term, what they've decided to do is simply go on hold. In other words, just adopt a wait-and-see approach. Have a look at what materializes in terms of the trade war, what further tariffs the Trump administration wants to implement, what happens to actual economic activity and the labor market conditions. And once they've got a bit more information, perhaps they'll be in a better position to make an informed decision on interest rates. So I'm expecting in the short term for the US interest rates to move sideways and then for a decision to slowly emerge beyond that. And at this stage, you would say, yes, the bias is towards cutting interest rates, but I would just caution about getting too optimistic about the types of interest rate cuts that can manifest later this year. Beyond that, the rest of the data, I don't think has been all that critical. We have seen some moderation in business confidence around business expectations. I think that's also been negatively affected by the tariff regime. And again, if the Trump administration goes too far in terms of implementing additional tariffs on a wider range of countries, that undoubtedly could spark a global trade war. And the consequence of that would be a weakness or a broad-based softening of global economic activity. So I guess that has become the critical focal point. We've got a key date, the 2nd of April. The Trump administration has set the 2nd of April as a time when they will implement some of the tariffs that have already been delayed. And they've also made 2nd of April the time for some reports to be submitted on additional tariffs against a broad range of countries. And so I think that the trade situation is going to intensify as we get into the beginning of April. Obviously, I'm hoping that at that point, the Trump administration decides to adopt a more modest or a more measured approach to their tariff regime. And therefore, they start to understand that this isn't helpful for anybody, including the U.S. But that's difficult to judge. Clearly, the Trump administration is intent on trying to establish a more fair balance in terms of international tariffs. And there's no doubt that the U.S. has been more generous in its willingness to have lower tariffs in respect to trade with other countries. So there is an argument that says that the U.S. can implement tariffs to better balance the global trade situation. But I would counter that by saying that in this environment, the U.S. has nevertheless prospered, and that there isn't really evidence that the U.S. has struggled as a result of any sort of trade imbalance globally. And I think that's because there are other second order or third order benefits that derive to the U.S. because of the way in which they conduct international trade. And some of those benefits simply relate to productivity gains. So I think it's a dangerous game that the Trump administration's playing. I think there's a lot of unintended consequences, and I'm hoping that it starts to quieten down after the early part of April, and that we can focus on other more important dynamics in order to lift global growth more sustainably. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.